Hello and welcome back to the Bible is Funny podcast. We're here with Tim Wyckoff. Tim, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, thanks. I feel like I never left.
It's because we don't let you leave.
Just want to go see my family.
They're great. They're doing so good. I keep meaning to tell you that.
Oh.
They're doing awesome.
Well, if you could let me FaceTime them every once in a while, that'd be great. Well,
get those numbers up, buddy. We're here with a very special segment today, a segment we love to do called Christian Movies Are Funny. But before we do...
Kidnapping is always funny. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, you got to start. You got to start there. Before we get into it, sorry, I got a frog in my throat. Before we get into it today, got some housekeeping stuff. Just want to let you know today's episode brought to you by iPhone charging cords. How often are you challenged, surprised, flabbergasted? Probably not much with all of today's conveniences. That's why 5 times a year, iPhone charging cords won't charge your phone. It's a fun surprise for you when you wake up, and it makes you feel like you're having a terrible travel day right in the comfort of your own home. Oh my gosh. iPhone charging cords. Brought to you that they're bringing today's episode.
Couldn't have done this episode without them.
I don't get this phenomenon. Why does this happen?
I don't know. Part of it is you can get dust. And I think I've showed you that little thing. But then I clean mine out a lot.
100%.
2 days ago, I wake up and it's like, oh, hey, irresponsible child.
Right.
You didn't charge your phone last night.
Right.
The heck, I didn't.
No, I did plug it in. I know. It's just not charged.
We get it. You tried.
It's like, no, I stopped and got gas like a mile ago. I know. You thought you did.
It said.
Your car's broken now. Deal with it.
For the rest of the day, you can get like 8 seconds worth of gas in your car now. And then you can go to the next gas station, but you can only get like a quarter mile worth of gas.
Because
you
got it.
I can't get gas on the fly like I'm a freaking jet fighter.
You go into like breakfast. You're like, hey, is it cool if I just plug my phone in somewhere?
Right.
He's about to die.
Yeah, you find yourself stopping at an Arby's just to use their power.
Too soon.
Oh, come on. speaking of food, though, I will say I really don't like it when people talk about food on like the radio or like podcasts or something. But I had maybe one of the best sandwiches I've had.
Really?
Yeah, it was just today. Like I made it. Mal, she went home. She went to Whole Foods and got some. We got some fresh bread.
Yes.
Like some of the fresh sliced stuff.
Yes.
Fresh deli meats.
Yep. Yep.
Fresh lettuce, like just bought today.
Yeah.
Pickles.
It was
just a delightful sandwich. Just very, it's perfect.
I'm so curious. I want to do a poll on this because I just brought this up the other day. You have a real like gift person. I don't know who made the sandwich you're talking. Did you make it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You're great at making sandwiches. Rachel, my wife, great at making sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm putting the required ingredients into the sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not, it never delivers. And Rach is always like trying to talk me through like, well, there's a reason you put cheese at this point in the process and she's always on me. I guess I use too much mayonnaise. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
Honestly, I just take it all. I put it all together and I eat it. And I'm like, well, that's fine. When you and Rach make sandwiches, they're like restaurant quality.
I mean, my grandma was a sandwich maker for a bit.
What?
Yeah, she had a deli.
I did not know this.
Yeah.
You come from a line.
In Jersey, a line of sandwich artists.
I'm curious if this is a personality thing, because I'm like, I don't know.
I think so. I mean, there was a right way to do it.
Right.
And there's a wrong way to do it. And everybody else, well, not everybody else, but most other people do it the wrong way.
I do. And I would say the wrong way. It's a way to get calories in.
Some people go over meaty on the sandwich, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's a little too much. You're a little too thick. If the bread's too thick.
Yeah.
Certainly if the bread's too dry. Ugh, don't get me. Again, this is not a food podcast, but I just had to bring it up.
I had a great sandwich this week as well, actually. A place called Slicers in Naples.
Mm.
They had crushed Cool Ranch Doritos in my sandwich.
Mm.
It was like a real funky like place, and they just had like this crazy ingredient list. I was like, I don't know. You tell the guy I was with. I was like, whatever you get, I'll get one of those. And it was like, I was like, this is a top 5 sandwich.
Mm.
Bread was perfect.
I'm all for a chip on a sandwich.
Crushed right in front of you, like they got the bag out, smash. I was like, this is cool. I like this place. I'm curious though. I'm gonna do a poll on the or if you're listening, give me a shout. Do you make good sandwiches? Does someone in your family make good sandwiches? Do you appoint someone? Can anyone learn to do it?
Yeah.
Where does sandwich making live?
I don't know. I mean, I think my kids also know that I make the better sandwiches in the house. I mean, it might just be that, my oldest is just overly critical of my wife anyway.
Yeah.
So that's probably where it stems from. She tells me, I sneezed yesterday morning, and she said, Dad, I like your sneezes way better than Mom's. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, when she sneezes, it's just so, yours are low, and hers are so loud and high-pitched, it sounds like she's yelling at you. And I was like, well, you're not wrong.
As someone who has been critiqued for their sneezes.
You stifle yours.
I'd never do it right.
You let them out, man.
I never do it right.
Let it go. As my friend Elsa once told me, let it go.
Speaking of movies.
What? Good segue.
Frozen is a movie. And today we're going to discuss a Christian movie. Here on the Bible is Funny podcast, we do a couple of different things. One, we usually talk about the Bible, work through the Bible together. And then we have a special segment we do called Christian Movies Are Funny, where we review Christian movies. And that's what we're going to do today, Tim. Today, we are going to discuss the 1949, get in the Wayback Machine. We're going to go to a drive-in and check out the romantic, biblical drive-in drama, Samson and Delilah.
Very romantic.
Very romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Very romantic. Tim, what can you tell us about the movie?
Well, I can tell you a lot about it. One, I'm glad we are on the same page again with what actual movie we watched, because there's a chance that we could have gone a different direction. There's several Samson and Delilahs out there. This is the 1949 version directed by Cecil B. DeMille.
Did you do any background on him?
Not a lot. Some.
I got the impression that meant something. They were leading with that a lot.
Oh,
like the scroll opens up like.
Well, it's the director who's probably pretty pompous at the time. I mean, that was like a film then was like all about them.
I didn't know if it was more of that or if it was like, you know, if Steven Spielberg does it, you say Steven Spielberg as many times as you can when you're talking about the movie. So I wasn't sure, and I didn't get a chance to look it up.
I didn't get that far. It's hard to tell because there were some things I tried to look up about the film. There's just not a whole lot of like facts out there. There's a lot of stories, but there's not like a fact checker. Somebody going in like, yeah, hey, this didn't really happen. There's not like a video evidence thing. Like, there's a lot of like hearsay stories about different people and stuff.
Sure.
So, it is fun. Like that era of Hollywood, of entertainment is kind of fun.
Yeah, definitely like studio. This is like the studio era.
Studio heavy. Yeah. This was like the big. Definitely shot like in a studio for the most part.
Yeah.
A little bit. I'm sure it was in. Looked like it was in Southern California, like landscape, exterior stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the, like big sets. Like,
yeah.
Sets.
Yeah.
Big sets of. Just big stages and stuff. It's pretty. Cool. Just cool to watch because it's like an era that's kind of gone.
Right. Right, because you were constructing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no CGI to come in and do any of it for you.
Uh-huh.
And some of it, you're like, well, that's very obvious. But others of it, you're like, yeah, you're like, even some of the fight scenes, the way they're like, you can see the stuff respond. Almost a little bit of the traces of the Indiana Jones thing at Disney, when you're like, you can see how it all works together. And it's got to be a functional, real thing, because there's no computer coming in to fix it after.
Right. I mean, well, there's a little bit, like, you get there's some kind of, I don't know how they did it, if it was like green screen back then, if they had that technology, but like, you're cutting like sections of film and putting it over the top of other film, like, backgrounds.
Right.
They did what they could with the technology they had.
Yeah.
And it was honestly not terrible. I mean, it looks cheesy now, but
right.
This was 60 years ago?
There's like a charm to it to me is one thing I kept thinking as I was watching it is like, I don't know, it's got some of the charm of like a high school theater production. Like,
right.
Where you're like, yeah, you're doing the best with what you can. Like, right. I don't know.
And these like scenes, these terrific scenes with like hundreds of people in them.
Right,
like,
right.
And many people have speaking lines. Uh-huh. And it's not just one person you're honing in on and then you you zoom out and right. You've got the whole theater and they're like, no, they're kind of going through, like they keep the pace of it all up pretty well, but you're going through, you're seeing a bunch of people and a lot of people have lines and it's like shot after shot after shot of like big scenes. It's pretty impressive.
It is. It certainly is.
So here's a little bit of details. It was the highest grossing film of 1950.
Yeah, it was.
And it won two stars. It's got two little stars.
Two stars.
When it came home from kindergarten.
On Yelp.
It won two Oscars.
Oh, baby.
And nominated for others. So it won for Best Color Art Direction and Best Color Costume Design. We don't think we have these categories anymore because it's all in color. This was, anyway, it was also nominated for cinematography, film score, and for special effects. So all this stuff made sense. So there was, the costume design. Uh-huh. That was the thing I noticed right off the bat. And I don't want to jump too much into the movie, but
right.
Like, we recently watched a film where they went back in time to go look at Jesus in Jesus times.
Right.
And it's like the costume is clearly Amazon purchased. Right. Like you almost see the price tag on it still. Because they're waiting to return it because they're not going to use it for another.
Not that another we've film. Done that with video shoots or anything.
No.
We would not do that practice, ever, listeners.
Ever for we, a Halloween video at all. We would never do that.
No.
But then you look at these costumes of back then and like this is 1949.
Yeah.
This costuming they had was like not really believable necessarily,
sure.
But it's good. It was all well done. Like this was the age of like we were putting money into costumes. These are costumes.
Yeah.
And they did it.
Yeah.
It was that stuff was impressive.
Is this I'm trying to reach back in the old memory banks. I think this is our first Oscar winning movie.
Oh. Let me see. Let me go over some of the other ones we've done.
Recap a little. I don't want to say that out of turn.
No.
But I think this is the first. And it is interesting to note, you know, that it's a big studio film. It's winning Oscars. It's being nominated for Oscars. This is a point, like, we review current and, like, you know, a couple decades old Christian movies. And they're all on the fringes for the most part. Everything's kind of, like, in its own little sub-niche. But this was a time when, like, no, they were putting all the money into, like, the Bible movie.
Right, so these stories are already told.
Yeah.
So we're just borrowing them, and we're doing the same thing when we do our podcast. Like, we're taking these stories that have been told, that have been written down, and we are putting our own take on it, putting our own spin. And that's exactly what Cecil B. DeMille did. And so on that note, I was like, okay, there's a lot of like Bible movies back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, we're a couple decades, I think, after the Ten Commandments movie comes out. But these are like the films that are generating money. And I'm like, okay, is this kind of a cheat code that this is a it's not really a Christian movie. It's just a studio movie about the Bible. But then I also looked up, it said, the Christian Herald and the Protestant Motion Picture Council, which I didn't know existed back in the day, presented Cecil B. DeMille with its December 1949 Picture of the Month Award for Samson and Delilah. Picture of the Month.
There were so many pictures coming out that they were doing this monthly.
Right. The Protestant Motion Picture.
Wow.
I want to know what the Catholics had to think about that. It was really... So they were saying, this is a Christian film. So I think we have to go, it's a big studio film.
Oh, yeah.
Still, they called it, not me.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Right.
I didn't say it. They'd said it.
Right. Quick fact check, because I just had seen this getting ready. The Ten Commandments came out after.
Oh, there was no. Oh, okay, well, there's another
the
one.
The one with
Charlton Heston,
and
but there was another one. I want to say there was another one that was like a couple of decades earlier. There was another one in that decade that was like high grossing film. Like the people were putting money into them because they made money. People wanted to see them.
And I think there was like a I think there was even like a name for him, like sand and sword or something like that. My film school professors are very upset I don't remember this, because there were like little pockets of these things that popped up. But fun fact, there's a narrator in the movie Ten Commandments. Guess who it is?
Charlton Heston.
Cecil B. DeMille. Cecil B. DeMille.
All right. Let me tell you a little bit more about the film.
Yeah, talk to me.
Written by Jesse Lasky Jr., Frederick M. Frank, Harold Lamb, and also like Moses, sort of, kind of, as a ghostwriter. The movie credits do say based on the history of Samson and Delilah in the Holy Bible.
Yeah.
So at least they're giving some credit there.
Right.
It stars Hedy Lamarr as Delilah, I know she's, you know, dead and gone now, but she was a little hottie back in the day, I'm telling you that. Victor Mature as Samson, which their Hollywood names are like, these are funny names. Yeah. Victor Mature.
That's also a really weird.
Hedy Lamarr.
It's a very weird way to spell Sylvester Stallone. Because
just like
that's him. Who that was.
Also, I did not know this before getting into it. Angela Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury.
As Semidar. And Angela Lansbury, I only knew as an old woman. And then I see her, and I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
Angie.
It's odd when you see people that we met as old folks.
Right. That's my grandma. Yeah, but back in the day, she was kind of...
That's what I'm saying.
It's
like seeing that old picture of your grandpa when he went into the military, and you're like, who's that strapping young man?
Right.
What a stud. The guy I know
sits on his lazy boy.
Sipping on prune juice out there.
Who else is that? George Sanders as Saran of Gaza. Olive Deering as Miriam. Henry Wilcoxon. These are names I'm like, you didn't take that much time to make it up. Henry Wilcoxon.
That's the actor or that's the character?
He was Arthur.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Military fella.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Any sort of summary for the people?
Yeah, so on the IMDb summary is just very, very basic. when strongman Samson rejects the love of the beautiful Philistine woman Delilah, she seeks vengeance that brings horrible consequences they both regret.
Mm.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Okay. I wrote a little bit of a longer synopsis for the people that maybe didn't see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people did it. One, this is an Oscar winner. So some people have seen this movie.
Right. So the disclaimer today is like, hey, yeah, we don't make films. We definitely don't make Oscar nominated or winning films.
That's exactly right. And I'll go ahead and give the disclaimer. Hey, listen, we like to review movies. This is something I enjoy doing. Tim does because I don't let him out of the house. This is something we like to do. I like that people make things. We love that people create and that they go out and they make things, they tell stories and they undertake these things. And however it turns out, a lot of times it is just the process of doing this. So much is learned. So many good times are had. And it's a very, very difficult thing. You got to commit a lot of time and energy and effort, to make all these costumes and to tell these stories. So it doesn't really need to be said certainly much for this one, because it has already been given its flowers.
Mm-hmm.
But we want every listener to know that the point of this podcast is not to take down people for making things. The point of this podcast is to consume what you made, and then we just discuss it here on the pod.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to consume and discuss. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to read through a little synopsis. We like to say here, if you have not seen this movie and you would like to, now would be the time that you would pause. I'm going to read over the next couple of minutes some things that would be defined by Webster's Dictionary as spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie might be ruined for you. Bible's been around for several thousand years, so that would also have ruined it for you if you're at all familiar with the story. But you just like to give you the moment.
Yeah, it's a 75-year-old film.
out of just a 2,000-year-old book.
You haven't had a chance to watch it yet. Spoiler alert. This is our oldest spoiler alert today.
Right. But now is right.
Pause it.
No. Okay, so if you're still here, it means you watched the movie and you're back. I hope you enjoyed it. Love to discuss it with you right now. If you did not go watch it, it means you're cool with these spoilers we're about to give.
I want to know if somebody like sees the movie we're doing and then just goes and watches it ahead of time. I don't know if anybody's that.
We do get a good amount of people that are like, I watched it because you guys talked about it. I was wow. I was super intrigued. Got a lot of those from Assassin 33 AD. I think people didn't believe us. Okay, synopsis.
Yeah, let's hear yours.
This is the story of Samson, full name Sylvester Samson Stallone, an impossibly strong Israelite who fights hard and simps even harder. He first falls for one woman, Semidar, but their romance is short-lived as an almost poetic riddle makes tempers flare at their wedding. Delilah, having watched Samson kill an innocent lion and call her sister a heifer, is obviously in love with him. Things take a turn when Semidar is accidentally killed during the wedding feast and Samson brings the house down, literally, not with his comedy routine, in retaliation. From then on out, Samson commits to being an Andre the Giant in Princess Bride-style menace to the Philistines, popping out from behind rocks and fighting folks. The Philistines turn to Delilah for help. Delilah seduces Samson, finds out the secret of his strength, cuts his hair, and turns him over to his enemies when he considers leaving her to save his mother's life.
Why can't we find a good man?
He made his choices. She then regrets those decisions when she finds out they blinded Samson and he can no longer tell her how pretty she is. So she becomes a born-again Christian, refuses to send him safely back to his people because of a perceived love triangle with Miriam, and eventually Samson kills everyone by destroying the Temple of Dagon during the celebration of his capture. That's the rundown.
That's it.
That's all of it.
That's it. You know what is, you didn't mention is, and neither, I don't think we learned it in the Bible stories either, that Samson was a predecessor, maybe an, I don't know, mentor to Robin Hood.
Big Robin Hood vibes.
That was the story this go around.
Yeah.
So this, honestly, that's kind of what I liked about this version, is it like they took some liberties in what they were actually writing in the story. Right. And then you get these rob from the rich, steal from the poor.
Right. These are my taxes, he says at one point. I do really like, and I'm going to talk about it, I think, in one of these points later. When you watch old movies, and not a lot of people do this. I said when we first started this whole thing that I got to go to film school, which I just loved so much. Would have kept going forever, but there's no, you know, there's just the 2 years and then you're kind of done. But you get to watch old movies and you don't, a lot of times, we're all so behind on everything, right? Yeah. Like everyone listening has five shows they're supposed to be watching and they're not watching. So it's hard to be like, I'm going to go watch a movie from the 50s or the 40s. But you see things that inspired later things and you're like, oh, I thought when I watched blank, that was like the first time. But then you see like obvious motifs that were borrowed and characters and things like that. So I got some of that in this one. But Tim, let's just talk through it. What was something that was shocking to you about this movie?
Shocking thing to me was the one-liners and the digs that were written in this film. Like, such high quality that I didn't expect. Like, again, this is, as we talk about big set design and big costumes and a ton of people, a ton of extras, and everybody's got a line. Like, there were so many people that had lines in here that were just kind of cleverly written. It almost felt like a Leslie Nielsen movie, just got line after line after line. It was kind of funny. They were written in there really well, but like those kind of dialogue lines aren't written for people anymore. Right. So it's like kind of funny, kind of church funny.
Yeah.
Where was it? Oh yeah, you mentioned it before. When Samson's given a line and he says, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have been answered my riddle." He calls Delilah a heifer.
Yeah.
He delivers another line later that's like, "I had to break this over your lying little skull." Just the way that it was delivered, I know that's out of context, but
right. That one's actually sort of flirty.
Right.
That one.
Right. And then, oh yeah, that's right. It was like, he was flirting with Delilah.
Yeah.
And then Delilah's talking about, was it Miriam? Not Miriam. Anyway, the doe face. Yeah, Miriam. I got it right. Why don't I question myself?
No, that's right.
And he says, this milk-faced girl with a cow's eyes will lead you to your death. Like, wow. That's strong. Just
had it at the ready.
Also, a milk-faced person. I know this. I've heard it used before, but like, dang. That's That's low.
Right.
It's so mean.
Right. It's funny because it's like a jump because you're like, you know, fair skinned or like something like that. You can kind of be nice. And then you get to milk face.
Right.
And you're like, oh gosh. Yeah. The heifer line is straight out of the Bible, which I thought was great. Love how that was delivered. I actually also noted this. I had a couple more I threw in there. At one point, Samson says to Delilah, "You're a bold little monkey." In the beginning,
who's a bold little monkey?
Philistinos. I'm more confused now at how to say the word that I always said, Philistine.
Philistine. They pronounce it different.
Philistine. I don't know how to say it. But one of those, he pushes this old man and he says, "Croak in the mud, you old frog."
Oh my gosh.
Kicks him into the dirt.
Yes, that was my honorable mention. Like, they really stepped on an old guy's face.
and they
pushed him into the mud.
Stepped it back. Like, I think it's obvious when you're watching that it wasn't like a stuntman doing it. It was a real old man. Right. So they kind of like.
Right, but they still did it.
Stepped on an old man.
They made it. There was no CGI.
It was real. This was when movies were real.
Oh boy.
Yeah, this was actually my high point. So we're moving to a different category for me because I loved the one-liners. Another line, "You shall swallow your tongue, old goat," said to the old man. A kid says to a Philistine, "Samson will crack your head like a walnut." Just great one-liners. Samson says to Cimarron, what was her name?
Yeah.
Sauron? Semidar. Says to Semidar, "Great throw, but the lion's heart is on the other end."
Right.
Puts it in the butt.
It really was a bad throw.
Well, they kind of presented it as good. It was a good line. I liked that line. Yeah, I had the one-liners too. Similar to the milk face comment, if I may build on that for a second, for what was something that was shocking to you. Sometimes you hear people address... I don't know the best way to approach this. You hear people address like an issue and it doesn't, you might not have the full context of like what the issue is. This film set in the Middle East was so aggressively white. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
right.
Sometimes I'm like, I wonder if we're going a little too crazy with every story has to be like every person has got to be from there to be in the story. But boy, oh boy, was this one. They kept talking about how white they were. Yeah. Like they were like, "Look at how white she is. Look at how white she is." And it's like, the film is set in the Middle East. Like this is tough. This is tough to be this. This is very white for a film set in the Middle East.
Yeah, yeah, I agreed. They didn't even try to like tan them up too much either.
This one, like, I mean, we went with the English speaking, which is like, again, that's a choice. Yeah. I get
what else are you gonna do?
Audience's sake. It was kind of funny because I laughed at one point. The guy, one of the guys goes, he's looking at ants and he says, the Babylonians call them scubida, and the Danites call them skibidida. We Philistines call them ants. Like, oh, you guys speak English.
Oh,
that checks out. Why go through the trouble? And why would you say the Danites use a different language? They're in the same movie, talking the same as everyone else. That doesn't make any sense. So, you know, like, anytime you think, maybe you think representation can do better, maybe you think it's this or that or the other, you go back and watch one of these movies and you're like, we did have a lot of room for growth here.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you've got, like, 500 extras in the same scene,
right.
Maybe they just couldn't find, they were like, well, forget it, we'll never be able to find that many people of color in Hollywood at one given moment, ugh.
And you're let's like,
just give up and get all white folks again.
When you have a moment where you sit there and you're like, so the movie takes place in Gaza. I think Angela Lansbury. who's coming to my mind.
Golden-haired Angela Lansbury.
What are we? That's wild.
They did. Hedy Lamarr was like Czechoslovakian, though.
Yes.
So they went a little farther east to go get her.
Close enough, I guess. Closer than most, I should say. So that was the thing that was most shocking to me. What was a character that you wanted to see less of?
Oh my gosh. Delilah's dad. Delilah and Semidar's dad.
Yeah.
Him give like the way that he gave like sales pitches to his daughters, like right. to marry them off. he was like a used car salesman. Because, like, one guy would want one daughter, and he'd be like, oh, no, you can't have her. You should have the other one. She's way better. She's going to be a way better wife. You should just go to her.
Right.
And this happened, like, flip-floppy several times.
Yeah, either way.
Mm-hmm.
He was my note. He reminded me of, I'm willing to bet on this, the Sultan from the movie Aladdin.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is trying to sell off Jasmine.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, this is the character that was inspired by. Same mustache, same, like, general idea mm-hmm. that you're just sort of pawning off your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I had him in this category. I also had...
You had him as the character to see less of?
To see less of, because it was...
I had an honorable mention.
So did I.
Oh, my gosh. What was yours? You go first.
Okay, I'll go first for this one. The character I want to see less of was the lion.
Oh!
Because the fight between the lion and Samson... went on so long.
I know.
That I laughed out loud. When they reversed the camera angle one again, I was like, what are we trying to prove? This is not getting better. Like, this is obviously, you're doing the best you can. It's a real person and an actual lion, mind you.
Some of it. So there's some history there, too.
Oh, okay. Talk to me.
And it's fun. So, first of all, I'm going to go... Well, never mind. But there's some history there. So the director, Cecil B. DeMille...
Cecil.
Wanted a real lion in there.
Yeah.
And then the actor, what's his name? Victor Mature. Mature? I don't know how we say it.
Mature.
Now. He was like, I'm not going to wrestle a fake lion. And... because he wanted to be all, like, the director wanted it all real.
Right.
He's like, I'm not wrestling a fake lion. Or no. He was like, I'm not gonna wrestle a tame movie lion. And the director's like,
hold on.
The only other option is like a lion with no teeth. Right. And he's like, well, no, I don't want to be gummed to death by a lion either. Like by a real lion that's not a tame one. So. The stuntman, so there's a stuntman here now. The stuntman wrestles the real movie lion, the tamed lion.
Okay.
And Victor Mature wrestles like a piece of carpet, like this stuffed lion that's like a piece of skin, essentially. Like it's not real.
Yeah.
So he's wrestling a not real thing. When you see his face, you see a fake lion.
Huh.
And then when you see a real man wrestling a real lion, that's the stunt double.
With a movie lion.
With a movie lion that's like tamed and whatever.
Yeah.
But Victor was afraid to do that, but the director wanted it in. It's like, you gotta have a real lion.
So Victor says, I don't want a movie lion.
Yeah, I don't want a movie like a tamed lion.
But the other option was a no teeth lion, and he didn't like that either. He requesting a wild lion is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Well, no, he's like, I'm not gonna do it.
Oh, he didn't want to wrestle a lion at all.
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate deal. But he was like, he refused to wrestle that lion.
And then
the director's like, well, what if I get you one with no teeth?
He said, I don't want to be gummed to
and
death.
He said, like, I don't want to be gummed to death either.
Okay, that's funny.
So the scene is with the stuntman wrestling the tame lion.
I don't blame. I think that's a V mature decision right there.
Yeah,
like that's a business call. I'm not doing the lions.
No, we've seen what are their names? Siskel and Ebert,
Siegfried and Roy.
Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah,
seen them get attacked, and if they can get attacked by a tiger that they know and love, and they keep in their home, and they do whatever things they do to them in the dark.
Gross.
If they're going to get killed by them, then yeah.
No, you could tell, and you could tell that this lion thought they were having a good time, in my opinion. It was this lion was enjoying this fight.
Well, at one point, I looked up, I'm like, was that lion actually dead?
That was impressive.
Because at the end, when they're like picking the thing
they're
up.
They're moving.
I'm still not convinced, but they said it was a tame lion. Like, it was a trained lion that would do all that.
It had to be tranked, right? Like, they were moving, the weight was being distributed. That thing was a real lion.
It was asleep.
And it was supposed to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But that scene just went on and on. Like, it was like, and then I loved the fake, the movie Blood. I don't know if they got an Oscar for the, like, ketchup packets they squirted on right. one of his arms.
There's blood, but there's no, you know, it's just flesh wounds.
It's just merely a flesh wound. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, since we're on the point, this is my high point.
The lion fight?
The lion fight was my high point because it lasted so long.
Right.
I actually like that. Like, okay. Drag it out a little bit because, again, back in the day, they're doing this. But this is a pivotal scene in this movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, wrestle the lion. Show that it takes a long time to wrestle a lion right. to death, to kill a lion with your bare hands. There were some campy things about it, like him telling Delilah, hey, go hang out on that rock over there while I kill this lion.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. But he's like wrestling this lion for like a full 3 minutes, which mm-hmm. seems like an eternity.
Yes.
But also, the big shocker for me was how similar his killing a lion looks to my version of killing a lion when I fantasize about it. When I think, like, when I wrestle a lion or a bear to death,
okay.
which I think I'm visualizing it, that's how I want to die. Or that's how I want to live. I don't know how you want to put it.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's how he did it. How I'm like a bear hug from behind.
And you think you could tighten up on the...
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't think I can. But that's the only thing. That's the only way I think I could do it. If you're going to do it...
You got to do it. I think you got to use a... like a.
I mean,
like
you mentioned Andre the Giant already from Princess Bride. And that's how Wesley does it.
I didn't even put that together, yeah. but you're right.
Uh-huh.
Gets on the back, sort uh-huh. of chokes him out.
Yeah, because you can't, like, what's a lion going to do? Like, scratch its own back? No, man.
I don't know. I feel like a lion's going to roll over.
Right. And you got to hang on, bro.
That's what
I've got to hang on.
Yeah.
I've already thought this through. This is exactly how it goes.
Yeah. I want an aerial attack. I'm throwing things. I'm winning on that. If I'm winning, and I'm not winning. We'll say that now. But I'm going for an aerial attack. I want distance. That's what I think if I get in close, it's over.
Okay, but the only thing you have to throw is a pickleball, and it's not going to do it.
Do I have a paddle?
Yes.
Then I can hit the heater. If it's just me throwing a pickleball, no shot. The lion fight is worth the cost of admission.
I will say,
yeah, it's a real lion. Like, this is probably, PETA's involved in this at this point. Like, this isn't happening anymore. They're not, like, doing that with real lions in a built studio set. No,
you can't do that.
No shot. So this was like a blast from the past. I don't know. I don't know what to compare it to. But it was like, oh, wow, look at that. A guy used to wrestle a lion. There it was. I don't know what that lion did, by the way. I was really confused. They were like going on a lion hunt. Like, set up a problem that the lion has caused. It seemed to me like the lion was just chilling out in the... You had to get on horses and travel.
Yeah.
He was not even near you.
I think they did it for sport back then.
What a shame.
If I remember.
What a shame.
Okay, so that was on... We were talking about characters to see less of.
Yeah, we're on to more of.
Well, I had my honorable mention.
Oh, yes, yes. Sorry.
My honorable mention was actually... It wasn't Samson, but it was the version of Samson that just picks people up. Just picks him up. So think about it. We all remember... There was always a kid in elementary school.
Yep.
Who just picked you up for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just to show you how strong he was.
Yeah.
Like, Samson just goes into this mode where he decides to hoist people in the air, and sometimes he picks them up. It's his mom, and he bear hugs her.
Yeah.
Picks her up. Picks up Delilah. Oh, look how strong I am. Right. And then sometimes he picks him up over his head.
Yeah.
And, like, WWE style, like, swings him around. Right. He does that with several people.
Yeah. One of his moves.
Yeah.
You did not care for his picking. This is like...
No, because it reminded me of like the kid in elementary school. It's like, oh, watch me pick you up. And you're like, I don't want to be picked up. And he grabs you and just...
This is a trauma point for you.
Yeah.
Well, who was picking you up?
I don't remember his name.
Put him on blast on the podcast.
I would never do that. But Frank, if you're listening, I swear...
Somebody was picking you up, and you did not care for it.
Yeah, you never saw that with, like, other kids. It was like, you see other kids doing it, and they're like, watch, I can pick you up.
Yeah. I didn't get picked up a lot. You had an older brother, though. Was he picking you up, Benny? No.
No, these were, like, kids your own age, and they're like, let me see if I can lift you up.
And now I'm wondering if I was, like...
kid. Maybe you were the kid.
Size? I don't pick... I'm not a big picker-upper, I can tell you that. I've always been very middle of the size category.
Stand up. Let me see if I can pick you up.
I can tell you, my youngest, he gets picked up all the time.
Right.
Finn gets picked up.
That's what I'm saying, is that left, people, right, and center. People do that. There's a type of person that does that.
Yeah.
And Samson enters this mode every once in a while. Not like it.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Character you want to see more of?
Okay, this is a small, there's no small parts.
There's no small parts. Not an Oscar winner.
No, there was a couple. It was the wounded messenger.
Okay.
Yep. And you know what I'm talking about?
When he
comes back from
donkey,
like,
jawbone attack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Samson kills everybody with a donkey jawbone. Killed, like,
great premise, by the way.
Destroys the whole army. Like, they send, there's one messenger that makes it back. This guy comes in to deliver the message to Saran Wrap, lays down on the steps in front of him, and gives this, like, minute-long dramatic monologue about what happened. And actually, as it turns out, that guy is George Reeves. He was Superman in, like, the TV series Superman.
What?
No relation to Christopher Reeve, just so you know. But he's, like, doing Shakespeare at the Globe Theater on these steps, like,
yeah,
is the most dramatic acting of the whole thing.
Right,
I would like to see more of him, but then that's it. That's all you get.
Yes, yeah.
Quick, he's got some storied history, too.
George Reeves?
Yeah.
Reeves.
George Reeves, yeah.
What did he do?
It's all the 1949 kind of drama.
Oh.
And he was at a party, and evidently he, like, took himself out.
Oh my gosh.
But then, like, his family was like, no, he would never do that. It was at a party, and it must have been somebody else that did it. So they, like, made this whole, so there's, like, this murder investigation and this weird.
What?
Yeah, I know. This is the drama we got.
Is this our next offshoot podcast as we try to find the truth behind George Reeves' untimely demise?
And maybe just all of Hollywood.
The Hollywood Tower Hotel. Fantastic. I had two that I had of note in this category.
There were lots, yeah.
I'll say one is very general, so I don't know how much there is to discuss. Saran Wrap. I wrote down in my notes at one point, I dig this guy as an actor. I think the character's good. He's kind of like
George Sanders.
He had, like, a sense of what was going on. He sort of knew Delilah was actually in love with Samson and, like, kind of played this all perfectly. Mm-hmm. I was like, and this dude's, like, delivering this. Like, mm-hmm, he's killing this. So that's just a note for, I enjoyed his role. But the other guy I wanted to see more of, a lot of, was the guy taking notes during the conference meeting with Delilah. Because he's, like, he's taking notes. And at one point, the Saran comes over and is like, don't take notes on that or whatever. So he's like, oh, okay. So he, like, doesn't take notes or something. And then at another point, they're all mad at Delilah and they kind of charge in. And he's like, hey, get out of the way. I'm trying to record all this. And he, like, pushes them around. And I'm like, I just love a glimpse into somebody who takes their job seriously. A little glimpse of this guy who's like, no, there will be notes. Okay?
Okay.
I've had enough of these meetings, mm-hmm, where you all say things, and then you're like, no, I never said that. And I'm like, you look at the notes. I made the notes. So I love that this is who I want to see more of. Court note guy pushing away heads of state, mm-hmm, to say, I can't see.
And that's
important to me.
Yeah, when everybody's crowding his way, he's like, no.
Trying to take notes.
Which actually helped me out as the viewer, because that was the angle which I was viewing the drama unfolding.
Yeah. Court note guy.
Thanks, buddy.
Any other characters you want to see more of that you had in there?
I mean, there were a bunch. I like the little person guy who was using the donkey's head.
The donkey skull, I was so impressed with that.
Very well done. But then the little jester who was like, his whole job was to make jokes and use the donkey head and, like, dance the thing around. He was fun.
And I didn't have time to, like, research that, but I did make a note to do it later. That, like, I wonder if that really, if there's any sort of, like, historical context to tell us that was like they would use little animal skulls or something. Because for me, the donkey jawbone line has always been like, I don't know, I guess a donkey died there and that's what was sitting there. It's the only, like, creative explanation I've ever come up with. And I watched this play out front, I was like, that's an interesting, like, take on the story, is that they were using it to make fun of him. And then he was like, give it that.
Right. No, I mean, we'll get to the end on this, but, like, the creative liberties that were taken in here were just, there's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what you get with an Oscar nominated film.
Yeah,
Oscar winning film.
Oscar winning and additionally nominated. Low points for the film Samson and Delilah.
You know, honestly, with a lot of campiness, obviously.
Yes.
We've got a 75-year-old film that's barely in color. But the fight scenes when they did the sped up footage, it looked like a Three Stooges kind of act where they're like, and then you see like a fight scene sped up, and you see all of a sudden you see him move at like 125% or something. Right. So that was a little. I didn't love those. Also, there was like a gross scene or picture when Samson's in the basement with pushing the millstone. He's like super sweaty and nasty.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a guy that's like shoveling up all the grain that he's just ground into flour, and that guy's like super sweaty, and then I'm just like imagining him dripping all over the flour like in it, and then we gotta eat the bread. That's gross. That was a low point.
Yeah, I didn't even put all that together.
No, I watched them shovel the grain, and I'm like, ugh.
I didn't put all that together, but you're right, that is very gross. For me, I alluded to it in the synopsis, but there was two low points for me that I noted. One was the riddle that Samson gives at the wedding, because he delivers it in the movie. Out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came sweetness. Why
we gotta,
the biblical text is this: out of the eater something to eat, out of the strong something sweet. So this is like, and I don't know how that, like, from the original Hebrew to English, I don't know how we got to there, but it rhymes.
I was gonna say, is this the Philistine language?
It rhymes as is. And then you gave it back to us. You had it right there.
It's like John Ralphio and
in Parks and Rec.
In Parks and Rec, he goes on this little streak of like just missing the rhyme.
Right there. Out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came sweetness.
That's exactly a genre.
Why? Rhyme. Why would it be sweetness? My second one, very bit moment, but boy did I almost lose it. They're being mean. The Philistines come up with this great plan to kind of like smoke out Samson, and so they super tax him, and they're going around, they're just like enforcing blah blah blah, and then this guy comes in and he starts like individually blowing out candles in this old man's like setup, and he gets this about 7 candles, and he gets through like 2 of them. It's, I think in his head, is like he's got lines to do and he's supposed to be done with this. So he kind of wafts his hand real quick and he takes out like 3 more. So 2 of these candles are just randomly burning while he's holding this thing. And the line is like, "You would even blow out our candles?" And he's like, "Yes. Yes, I would." And he's like, it just was,
but
like,
not all of them.
Man. Film's expensive at this point. Like, you're not reshooting stuff.
No.
You really missed this pretty simple, like, just blow out all the candles, do your thing. And he just didn't have a good plan. And that made me giggle.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, my high point, I'm just going to say, was the one-liners we discussed earlier on. You said it was shocking to you. I had to jump in and say it was my high point. What was the high point for you?
Well, my high point was the lion wrestling.
That's right. You said that.
But I did have an honorable mention. My favorite, like, 3 seconds worth of the film was Saran at the very end. And when he's about to get crushed by a giant statue falling on him.
Yeah.
And he looks at Delilah, he holds his cup up,
right,
and like does like a little toast, and he goes, "Delilah." And then I assume he dies at that point.
You have to.
But that part was another high point for me. That just that great moment, I laughed. Laughed out loud.
It was great, but it also felt like it was solid, because it was like this sort of undertone that this guy Saran actually was really into Delilah, and he kind of knew that Delilah was always going to be into Samson.
Right. It looked really funny. Like, yeah, way he delivered it again was kind of like a Leslie Nielsen going like, "Delilah,
do you
crunch
Delilah
crushed?"
Boy, they really sat on that scene too. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. This is falling apart. And it was about five extra shots of like, please, somebody help me.
But also those like, people.
Oh, gosh.
That was a funny part. Like, all these people are crushed by rocks already, and they're just kind of sitting there like they've been obviously placed as actors.
Right.
But they weren't ever told to act or act like they've been crushed by a freaking rock. And they're like, ho-hum. And they look up at the next rock that's falling, and they're like, Oh no! Don't do it.
Not
like
again.
That was the worst acting, but that's also by the extras. So.
Yeah, that was bad. It was just all those type of scenes. Oh, I also had a low point. I missed it. Of they were gouging out Samson's eyes.
Well, they didn't gouge him.
To story.
Didn't touch him with the
they
sword.
They did something.
They right. I thought that was clever. Yeah, go on.
That was very. But the sword was very hot. Right. Is like the point they were trying to get across. So they bring in a thing. They bring in like this sword that's illuminated on the tip half is like glowing red, and it came in hot coals that were on fire. But then what was the general's name that you said earlier? We didn't talk about it much, but it was. It was a tricky name to say. And he took
Arthur.
Arthur. It sounded like a mispronounced
of Arthur.
Arthur. Yeah. Yeah, like a kid saying, Uncle Arthur.
Arthur.
Uncle Arthur. So it's like you bring out, Arthur brings out the sword, and you're like, okay, visual cues and context. This sword is hot. But they didn't think we had it yet. So he drapes a random piece of cloth on the hot sword, and it catches on fire. So for a second you're like, well, what the heck's going on with that? But then he just puts that down and puts it out. Like it was
just for show.
Sort of nods. Yes, this glowing red sword and this hot.
It is hot.
We have confirmed.
Yeah, I didn't quite get how that was going to make Samson go blind. Like they just held, I guess if something's hot, you can put it close to somebody's face and they go blind.
It's too hot.
I don't know. I don't want to like, give the kids out there any ideas, but according to Hollywood, if you put a glowing hot thing next to someone's face, they go blind.
It'll blind you.
So don't stand next to your toaster oven too long, kids.
Well, toaster ovens are kind of regular hot. Where you got to watch out is if it's too hot.
You done? You got more?
I need to cool off in a little bit. Too hot. Let's get to the grand finale here. How many raised hands emojis?
Oh my gosh.
Do you give the studio film, the 1950 Evangelical Christian Film Corporation movie of the month for December?
I think it's totally worth it. There's a number of reasons why I'm going to rate this what I do. Like, very watchable. A lot of weird things, a lot of gaffes in there, a lot of dumb stuff.
Right.
But very enjoyable to watch, which is one of our criteria.
Yes.
It's also well done as far as time period, how they did it. Again, this is an Oscar winning film.
Yeah.
I went 4.5. Like, it's not like I don't want to watch it again. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe I'll watch it one more time with some people, but I'm not going to go back. But 4.5 is, I like,
yeah.
Go up there, bro. You did it.
We won an Oscar for its time.
Two of them.
Won two Oscars. They clearly knew what they were doing. Angela Lansbury's in it.
Freaking Murder, She Wrote.
You know, pull that kind of talent. The story's cleverly, you know, we've kind of alluded to it a couple times, but it really is just like an interesting weaving together of different things. Again, making no claim that this is like word for word bringing the Bible to life necessarily. It's just, hey, here's a take on like what this sort of might have looked like. What if like here's some relational dynamics that might be going on? You know, it just kind of like plays it all out in front of you. I wouldn't put it in the like in the chosen category for like commitment to like getting it right necessarily. But you've got this like creative take on a story, a Bible story that seems like it's got some level of commitment to what's going on. So I'm with you. I had it at four.
Nice.
So the acting was fine. Story was interesting. Kept moving. Dragged a little, but only because I have only so much tolerance for old movies. Only so many times can the main female character step like to the front of the stage and look off up to her right, and the male character come up behind her and grab her shoulders. I can only like on the 15th time that happens, I'm sort of like, okay, okay. Okay, let's get to the end. But solid. Samson and Delilah.
And there's like a the romance aspect to it. Like,
yeah, a lot
very, very sexy.
Oh, a lot of charged tension.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a, the Samson and Delilah story already sort of is. It lends itself to that, but they leaned into it. They wrote dialogue for it. They
right.
they wrote this thing. It's a love story and a dramatic one at that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you could see that this was a movie that you'd get your bow and you'd go to the drive-in and you'd watch this movie.
Oh, okay.
Your bow.
Sorry. I thought that was a euphemism. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way you said that. Hope we can cut that out.
Your actual bow and arrow.
Jeez, stop.
For safety.
No,
your boo thang in the 1950s.
Your boo thang.
And you'd go to the drive-in,
mm-hmm.
and you'd watch the movie. That's all they did at the drive-in. They uh-huh. watched the films.
And they were necking.
They were what?
Necking.
Not in the 50s.
Where they just take their necks.
Not in the 50s. That's when...
You rub your neck on someone.
That's when this country was wholesome in the 50s.
Wholesome when you had milk delivered to your door.
Milk delivered to your door. Only certain people were voting. You know what I mean? The 50s.
Good old days. But this was a gem that came out of that era.
Sure was. Samson and Delilah. Listeners, we did it. We did another episode. We didn't just do another episode either, Tim. This is episode 100.
What?
100. Triple
1,000
digits. Episode. I think we should pause here and say thank you to the people for what? Listening.
They didn't do anything.
Thanks for... They listened. It'd be no fun.
Just kidding.
We're along for the ride.
Thanks for giving us great movies to watch,
you give
guys.
Us great movies to watch. You contribute. You send us funny things. You do so much, Bible's Funny Podcast listeners. And I love you so much. And I can't thank you enough. You've listened to 100 podcasts. It's just like that's a lot of time to listen. And I'm grateful.
Yeah, you think anybody's ever listened to all of them?
My mom has.
Yeah, she's even started to listen over.
She went back again. It's because she's the best.
Do you know who her favorite character is on the podcast?
I don't want to talk about it.
I know she mentioned it to you recently.
I don't want to talk about what keeps her coming back to the podcast. But just diehard listener. And there's others out there, and it's just great. So thanks so much for listening.
But especially you, Sue. Thanks.
Big shouts out to Sue and to everybody else who sends in movies and just participates. Truly, truly. It's very special. Thank you. Thank you, Bible's Funny Podcast family. And we love you so much. You can follow along if you're not already on Instagram at The Bible Is Funny. You can send us Christian movies there. We are very attentive to your submissions. We try to run them all down. Mm. And so send them there. I'd love to see what Christian movie we should do next. And we'll be back with another episode here very soon.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, Tim.
Yeah, that's Lord willing.
Okay. Back to your room.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I want to see you walk.
Okay.
Love you guys. Bye. Boo, boo.